excited. And again, I just want to bring you praises and glory and honor, and bring you greetings from Good Samaritan Ministry of Joliet, Illinois, where we're laboring for God, church, and family, where the pastor is the Reverend Dr. Lester Brown. Come out and see us, 500 Millboro Place. We have Bible study every Wednesday night. We have Bible study every Thursday night from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m., and where we are vicariously walking through the Bible, and we are in the book of Numbers. And we have Sunday morning Sunday school from 10 a.m. to 10:45, and our worship service on Sunday morning is at 11 a.m., and you are so welcome to come out and join us. And if you would like to call us, our number is 815-630-4384. Again, our number is 815-630-4384. Amen. And we are people who care. All right, I am so excited to be with our to have our guest that's on our show with us today. I'm just so excited. When I first saw him at our Eastside Neighborhood Council, I just got excited right then and there. So it is just a blessing right now for me to introduce to some of you, all right, and just to bring to you the Marcus Cage of Divine Works Education and Training and Male Mentor. I said, oh, that is so important, but I am so excited about everything that he does. And so this is a privilege to have him with us today. Good evening, Mr. Cage.
Good evening. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And so what do you have for us today? Because, you know, we are grandparents raising children, and that's what, you know, this fourth Wednesday is pretty much focused in on. Mm-hmm. And your name and Divine Works came up in one of our meetings. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I mean, they were really, really pleased, and they were sharing the information about what was going on there with their grandchildren with you and Divine Works. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, yesterday when I came to the meeting at, yes, Township, it was an eye opener for me.
Yes.
To see the perspectives from the grandparents, mm-hmm, and the triumphs and the struggles, and being able to connect the dots, because some of us don't know that there are grandparents taking care of teens and younger kids, and we don't know, well, how does that take place, mm-hmm, and how does that affect the education of the teen, and how does that affect the parent, the grandparent, the vitality and the strength and the wherewithal, mm-hmm, to be able to, you know, run after these young people. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at this and I'm asking a lot of questions, and it allowed me to connect the dots and bring a narrative and conversation to the young people on now how it's important,
yes,
that you start making plans, mm-hmm, towards the future,
yes,
you know, for your life, because we never want to put ourselves in that situation where we grandparents, because grandparents were parents to somebody else's, to their kids.
Yes.
And whatever happens with the parents, we can't connect that so much and really focus on that, but things do take place.
Yes.
And for them to step in and take that responsibility is major. But speaking with the young people, giving them that narrative, giving them that perspective, that shouldn't happen, y'all. We got to teach you all to be responsible. Teach you all not to think in the now, to manage the now, but thinking more source towards the future, because we should be giving back to the grandparents.
That's right. We ought to be giving back to the grandparents, but that does not always happen. And like you said, there are many variables as to why grandchildren, and some is due to death, unforeseen death and everything, unpreventable. And grandparents have been raising children for a long time, you know, mm-hmm, but not like now, you know, and everything. And as you can see, we have a 70-year-old, you know, raising infant children who have some kind of physical disability. You know, and it's just a lot, you know, grandparents raising children, relatives raising relative children, and neighbors raising neighbors' children. And the one thing about it, in Joliet, there's about 10,000 families with grandparents as the head of household.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they raising their grandchildren or some, you know, somebody else's children. And then, and in that, 50% of them are white. And then about 33% are African American, and then like 23% are Hispanic Latino, you know. So there is a need here in the community for this, and we're trying to get this word out. But there's a need in the community for you and what you do and what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. And to reinforce and support what the grandparents are already instilling.
That's
because when I was growing up, I'm a mixture of old school and new school.
Mm-hmm.
Being a millennial, I have that. My mom was real a strong proponent for education, and her mom was a strong proponent as well, and also in addition to discipline. So I have that new school, old school flavor, the ability to be able to relate to the young people, but also still bring that old school, that foundation that they may be lacking or that needs to be reinforced in the household.
Yes.
Because it's important that, and the thought that I was having was that we've gotten away from being able to redirect other people's kids. But back in the day, that was norm. You know, yes. In your environment, in your community, if you were out of pocket, you would have an elder, or what I like to call an OG, they would come and redirect you and say, hey, Cage, what's going on? But now society has the cultural dynamic has changed so much that our kids are real tender. They don't receive redirection and instruction at times from people they don't know. And then some of the people, whether they be seasoned people or mid-30s, sometimes we don't care or we're apprehensive to redirect them. But yes. That wasn't the way that we were raised.
That's right. That wasn't the way I was raised either. So we were raised, you know, 2 7-generation because, you know, I'm old enough to be your mother, you know, and everything. But, because I'd be on one side of town. If I'd be caught wrong, I might get a whooping over there, and then I would definitely get another one when I got home.
Yeah.
In school, when I went to Central, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most people knew my grandmother. So if I'm acting out in school, they had the permission and the authority to do what they needed to do. Mm-hmm. And then if they told or whatever, and usually they would, give that verbal redirection. But then they would tell it, and then, you know, and it would be reinforced when I got home, you know. But laws changed and things changed over the course of the time. And now, that's not happening.
Yeah. And my main thought in conversation is to help the grandparents understand the mentality of the now generation, the new generation, the now generation. And the culture is different now, where the attention spans at times, and when I say this, I'm speaking in general. I'm not only just speaking from a negative perspective as far as identifying the problem. If we want to bring solutions, but we got to know what the problem is first. But the now generation, the attention spans can be real low, and emotionally and socially and emotionally internally, they can be very, very brittle. And the redirection that some of the OGs bring right now, that's not going to work unless a relationship has been built and established with those young people.
That, you know what, I agree with you 100%, because I know a lot of times, even I know my generation, that love component and what it is and how it's supposed to operate and all of that got lost somewhere, you know. And so, and when that love component get lost, and then we try to discipline without love, you know, it turns into something else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I agree with you 100% on that.
And at times, and this is my theme this entire school year has been empathy.
Yes.
being able to reposition myself to understand another person's perspective, but I can't understand your perspective unless I know your story. And then in regards to the grandparents or people in that age bracket wanting to redirect the kids, it's important to win them first. It's important to know their story, because at times we have the ability to put people in a box. A young man's pants is sagging, and we pull up your pants, boy. Not saying that that can't be said in the right tone and in the right situation, but really, why is that person's pants sagging?
That's right.
You know, what has he experienced in his life that has brought him to that place where he feel as though sagging his pants in public is normal?
That's right.
But that comes from conversation. Son, how you doing today? Oh, I'm good. You know, I see you got your pants sagging. You know, that's not appropriate in this type of environment. You need to pull your pants up. Thank you, sir. Tell me more, a little bit more about you. You know, and I like to use techniques where if I'm engaging young people and they telling me something important about their life, I like to hold that and record that. I put that in my memory bank of my mind and my heart. And if I see them on another occasion, I'll bring that to them. Well, how was that class going that you was telling me about?
That's right.
Or, you know what, I saw you had an issue with one of your teachers or, you know, one of your friends. Did you all ever resolve that? And they remember that stuff, and it lets them know this person was thinking about me. Then when the redirection comes, they're more susceptible to receive it because they know that a person cares instead of do this, do that. Dudes, you don't know me. What are you talking about? That's they don't receive that well.
That's right. And so, and that word that is so important, relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That relationship has relate in there, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we have to find a way to relate. You know, I used to work in the prison system, in juvenile prison system. So I go in there and I said, well, Lord, you know, help me to be able to... you know, to minister. I was there. I was a mentor, a professional in there, and everything. Mm-hmm. And so that's when he started showing me how to look past the faults and see the needs of these juveniles. You know, because they were maximum security males. You know, in a maximum security male juvenile facility right out here, mm-hmm. and everything. To look past the faults and see the needs, and then when the Holy Spirit started helping me to do that, and then to get to know their story, you know. And I used to come home. I have one inmate. I just want to share this right quick so you can get back on there. But just to show the importance of building a relationship and to find a way in, you know what I'm saying? And so he loved Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not finna go listen to... But I listened to Tupac. I could hold a conversation with him,
mm-hmm.
and all of that there. And then when I started really hearing behind even what Tupac was doing, you know, and all of this here, it made all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then point out every opportunity I got when I saw something positive,
mm-hmm.
I would point it out. And so, but building the relationship, it have to be intentional. It can't be haphazard. It has to be on purpose and intentional.
Because with our kids being dealing with rejection and abandonment and dysfunctional homes, that trust issue is key to be able to win them.
Yes.
To be able to win them would allow us to build the relationship to influence them into going a different direction.
Yes.
But as I listened to your story, that sounded like God, because that was a God perspective that allowed you to be able to see, because that's one of the missing ingredients in an equation of relating to young people is God, of course, and the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it in our own strength.
That's right.
But when you gave that God perspective in our program, we teach divorce in the past to advance into the future. And when we say divorce the past, we mean what we've been taught in regards to the perceptions that we have been given that God has moved away from.
Mm-hmm.
And advancing in the future is advancing in who you are and who God called you to be.
Yes.
So once those come into alignment, then now you're empowered to be able to relate to anybody at any time. But I love you when you talked about a connection.
Yes.
You stepped outside your comfort zone of what you had been taught, and you didn't really judge, critically judge the music, because for young people, and I want every grandparent to hear this and every parent, we may not really vibe with the music because we used to Isley Brothers and what we considered as music. But remember, this culture, the now culture, considers that as music. And the reason why, because I ask my students questions all the time trying to learn, is because that person's story connect my mind. Or I connect with that story. And I have students ask me, well, type this in, you know, listen to this, listen to this. I'll write it down and I'll go and investigate and I'll listen to the content. The content, the beats always get you moving and gyrating and whatnot, but the content is the connector. And oftentimes when I listen to their music, the content is in rap or has a story in it that they can relate to. And this is why they look up and idolize people of the world.
Well, and you know, and you say that, but that's the same thing when we started liking our music, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell, the Isley Brothers, the Rieckler, because they were saying something that related to us. They were sharing our stuff too, you know,
And the young people honor that because I was in a situation where I was playing some music. And I was taking, I was really schooling them, and they didn't know it. Because there was some music, because the music they listened to was sampled from people like the Isley Brothers and Marvin Gaye. And I played, one of those songs, and they was, oh, this is, so-and-so sampled that, so-and-so sampled that. So now listen to this. Listen to Biggie, and then listen to the Isley Brothers. You hear something the same. Yeah, and they, and they start connecting that, and my comment to them is, you never made anything new. Everything is always a remix of what was always set. And what happens is, now we respect y'all. Because a person took the time out to relate to where we are, but let us know where we are. We didn't get there alone.
Yes. You know what? And it's such a blessing to have, you know, you and Divine Works, and then you being a male mentor too, to intervene. And so this is where the Bow Down and Rise come up, because this is Marcus Cage, and we're going to get his information right now. But the Bow Down and Rise Up, part to that, for you who are out here listening, especially you people who are in position, pastors and preachers and teachers and all of this here, who are in position and serve people. This is some valuable information for someone you know, someone in your congregation to get, so that they can get the help that they need, that God has positioned Marcus Cage to come in and provide. And this is an opportunity for you to share this information and everything. Because see, the bottom line is, we want our children to get to know love. We want our children to get to know a loving Father, a Father God, the Creator, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we want them to have everlasting life. But just like it was for me and for you, it is a process. And so we have to start living that out. And the thing about it is, so this is an opportunity for that, to bow down and rise up. Because let me tell you, our time is being cut short. Let me tell you, it's winding down. And so we need to be doing what God has called us to do. He has given us everything that we need to get the job done right. Amen. And so how can you be contacted?
I got one thought that I wanted to share, and I'll get the contact information. What I wanted to share was to empower the people, the grandparents and the pastors and the leaders of the city, and that God has empowered us to be able to be all things to all men if represent him first. He must increase. We decrease. And that allows us to be able to relate to the Latinos, to the Caucasians, to the African Americans, people from different nationalities, because when it comes down to it, even though the young people see on the outside, they see a color, once we open up on the inside, they'll see God's heart.
That's right. And that's just God's word, because he said he brought us through the suffering so that we could be positioned to help everybody. Everybody. He didn't say a few people or a certain group of people. He said everybody.
Everybody.
And so then with that, that's a whole nother conversation. Yes, but ma'am. Then let's hear your contact information here.
You can reach us at 773-599-1133 and also at divorcethepass@gmail.com. Any questions, any concerns, any clarity, or if you would like for us to come out and facilitate a mentor session, or even if you want us to come out to your church or organization and train your people up to facilitate, we are here to help and empower.
Could you give that number again a little bit slower?
Mm-hmm.
And that email address.
Yes, ma'am. Slow-mo. 773-599-1133. Email is at divorcethepass@gmail.com.
Amen. So we thank you. We thank you, Mr. Martin Page of Divine Works Education and Training, Male Mentor. We thank you. And let me know when you divorce the past. Okay. Mm-hmm. You don't have to worry about your future. Okay.
Amen.
Amen.